Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn about in-person worship times at both locations. Worship will begin shortly. We are glad that you are with us.
Good morning, church. It is great to be here with you this morning. My name is Deacon Loretta Jobe. I'm a retired deacon who gets to the blessing of hanging out here and being with all of you wonderful people. I want to greet our online congregation as well. Hope that you are finding this service meaningful today, being with us. Thank you for adding your prayers to ours. This is a congregation that wants to know God, love God, and serve God. We do that in a great variety of ways. You'll find some announcements in your bulletin. You'll find some things on the connection cards. If you have any questions, ask. There'll be somebody to answer them out at that welcome table out there this morning. Besides the connection card, which we ask you to fill out, there are prayer cards in the pews. They are bright yellow. They're hard to miss. If you or someone you know is in need of prayers, please feel free to fill one of those out and turn it in. This is a praying congregation, and those prayers will indeed be offered on your behalf. If you didn't notice already, today before service, we have a new addition to our community room. There is a kids' corner, a few tables where kids can gather for table games and art. Parents can chat nearby. We're so appreciative of these new families and young children that are here. Please take note of that if you need to have a place to gather this morning after service. The list of announcements is a little long this morning, so please bear with me. I want to remind you of Christmas Eve worship times. So at 11 a.m., there will be a worship service here. There will be no 9 o'clock on Sunday morning, just the 11 a.m. It's designed for children and families. There'll be communion and candles as well. Please join us for that. And then later in the day at 2 o'clock, there'll be an acoustic worship service at the Whitmore Lake campus. At 5 here, the praise band will be leading us in worship and singing and joyfully celebrating the Christmas season. And then 7 and 9, we'll have the handbells and the choir here. All the services, again, will include communion and candles, so please join in. We'd love to have you here. It'd be great to see you. And because of the way this calendar rolls, December 31st, we will also only have one service. There will be an 11 o'clock service on December 31st to kick off the new year. Today, from 1 to 3 p.m., is a live nativity at our Whitmore Lake campus. And by live, I mean there's real animals going to be there. I'm going to go over because I'm anxious to see the camels. I heard there are camels going to be there. They might be a little dampish, but I think it'll be cool. Anyway, besides the outdoor event, indoors there'll be live music, cookie decorating, fellowship time. Please take a moment to, if you want to just drive through or if you want to get out of your car and come on inside and be a part of that fellowship, that would be fabulous to have you. There's a new small group going to be starting in January. It's called Saving Grace. It'll be on Tuesdays from 6:30 to 7:30. It's going to be led by Pastor Lindsay and Bob Fuchs. It is a study on how to transform the way that you think of money and how money is part of our everyday life. Today, if you didn't already get one, hopefully there'll be some sticky buns left when you get back. But the sticky buns are our kickoff for our Redbird Van mission service. The mission team here has generously agreed to let us do a mission for the whole year. It will be the mission focus for the church to purchase a van or two for the Redbird mission down in Kentucky. So please grab a sticky bun and let's get this kicked off. You'll hear more about it from Pastor John later today. All right, that's all I have.
Forevermore, peace to the child we are waiting for. Rise one candle of peace and a candle's warm and bright. This morning, we light the candles on the Advent wreath, knowing the coming of Christ draws near. And with his birth comes peace, hope, joy, and love. The prophet Isaiah reminds us that those who walked in the darkness have seen great light. And those we light candles of peace, that darkness may become light. The angel that visited Mary, telling her of her pregnancy, reminds us that nothing will be impossible with God. And so, the light candles of hope, knowing our hope is in God alone. The angel that visited Joseph reminds us that the virgin shall become pregnant and give birth to a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. And so we light the candle of joy, knowing that Jesus is our joy for the world. And this morning, we light the candle of love, rejoicing with Mary as she prays God in the song, saying, "My son, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior." May these candles light the way for Christ's birth and remind us of peace, hope, joy, and love that comes on Christmas Day. Amen.
Let us lift up our hearts and voices as we join in the opening prayer. Lord God, protect us as we travel to visit family and friends during Advent and Christmas. Fill us with gratitude and love for the people God has brought into our lives, and guide us to recognize opportunities to show your love to those God is guiding us to. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
This morning's scripture reading is from Luke chapter 1, verses 39 through 56. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. He has looked with favor on the lowly state of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. Indeed, his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has come to the aid of his child Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever." And Mary remained with her about 3 months and then returned to her home. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you. Amen. Thank you so much, Kelly, for reading our scripture this morning. As we continue our time together, I invite you to join me in a time of prayer. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be measured and found acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer, and the one who brought the Son of God into this world. Amen. As we gather here this morning, I couldn't help but think about a couple of years ago. I was just thinking as Kelly read this scripture. Kelly was our SPRC chair when Lindsay and I first came to the church 3.5 years ago. And she said, you know, this is a great church filled with amazing people. In this last week, that has proven to be so true. It's always true, but this last week, it was true especially because if you were here last Sunday night, this stage was covered with a whole bunch of stuff because the kids were putting on a play that was beautiful and filled with energy, a wonderful story and retelling of Jesus's birth into the world. And if you were here, you watched the smiles on their face as they enacted those stories and danced. And one of my favorite things to watch while children's musicals are happening at this church is Susan, who's in the back leading everybody in all of the dance moves. She's multi-talented. In addition to directing the choir, she's also a wonderful dancer in the back, and it's amazing to watch her direct the children. If you were fortunate enough to come to the play last Sunday night, afterwards you were treated by another member of our church, Sevi Ramos and Deanne Ramos, who were cooking all throughout the day so that we could have fajitas and tacos that were prepared for us right afterwards. So there was this wonderful time of fellowship that took place. And then it's amazing, as soon as that was finished, a whole horde of guys from Men with Tools came and collapsed all the tables and chairs and set them up for the next thing that was going to happen at the church. Everything was collapsed down and put away before we even came into staff meeting on Monday. As the week rolled on, there were meetings and conversations about Christmas Eve in anticipation of all of the celebrations that would be taking place just in a week from now, talking about children's pageants on Sunday morning and opportunities to celebrate with bells and praise band music and everything you can imagine. As the week rolled on, there were amazing opportunities to sit in meetings where we talked about this Redbird mission drive that Loretta was speaking about earlier. The Mission Council met and decided to approve that our church would work together throughout 2024 to raise money to purchase a vehicle for Redbird. And this is the thing that's stunning about our church. Before we even started, this campaign, there were already contributions, and together, without even really announcing this or making it public, we've already raised close to $13,000 for a van for Redbird, and we haven't even talked about it yet. But this is the other cool thing. So as we were talking about this project, you know, Rich Ray was sharing that he, when he was working in the corporate world, would sort of itemize different parts and sort of put them all together to sort of determine a price point for a particular vehicle. And so I said, like, Rich, I don't know if you'd be interested in this, but we're trying to, like, break up a van because it's a fairly large sticker price for a vehicle. Like, could we break it up into bite-sized parts, like a windshield and tires and, you know, all this kind of, and within like 12 hours, he was like, this sounds fun. And within 24 hours, he had sent me back like this itemized list of all the different prices of every part of a vehicle. So someday, because Suzanne is also incredibly talented, we'll put together a nice graphic image that breaks up a vehicle into bite-sized parts so people might be able to buy a headlight or a windshield wiper or a powertrain or whatever you might imagine. And together, like, I'm looking forward because I really believe it's going to happen. At some point this year, there's going to be a vehicle parked out in our parking lot with Redbird's logo on it, and it's going to be because of the incredible generosity of this church that has already gotten started without us even asking. It's really amazing. It's almost like Santa's already arrived. But that wasn't it. Last Saturday, before any of this started, 51 families came through the front doors of our church to pick up Christmas presents for foster children. And this is the story that Mary Kushner told. 10 of them, we actually didn't even know we were coming because there was some communication lapse with the Department of Human Services. And so that particular morning, some families showed up that we weren't anticipating. And so Mary's like, it's okay. We can provide Christmas for all of these families. We're going to make sure that they all have Christmas presents. In addition to all the things that you all went out and purchased on your own time, Mary went out again and purchased gifts for these 10 additional families, which included 6 bicycles and all kinds of Mattel games. And I wish you all could have seen the smiles on those families as they were able to take Christmas out the front doors of our church and bless these children that really could use some good news in their world. That wasn't the end of the story. Just a couple of days ago, the United Methodist Women were gathering, which, by the way, I always say is like the beating heart of our church. And this is my favorite meeting of the year, because after all the rummage sales and all the fundraisers and the bake sales and all the different things, there was actually a fashion show this year. I don't know if you all got to hear about that, but my very own wife, Lindsay, was in the fashion show. And so we saw some pictures of her parading through. Many of you were participants in that. That was also a fundraiser over the last year. And this is sort of an amazing thing. The United Methodist Women decided that they were going to set a goal through the year of raising enough money to buy a well in Liberia. And so this last Thursday, when all of the women were gathered downstairs to celebrate, the United Methodist Women handed me a check for $2,500, which will provide a well in a community in Liberia. It'll be installed in the next 4 weeks because we'll be sending the money to Liberia quickly so that they can install it, because in Liberia, in the town that this well is going in, they have a district conference for all the United Methodist churches in this particular district, and this well will provide water for over 2,000 delegates to district conference in Liberia 4 weeks from now. And that was just by Thursday, you know, like we could just keep going and adding, But Kelly was right. It's amazing to me what happens when everybody does their little part of the story. This morning, we lit the Advent candle of love, and we are reflecting on the gift of love today, and we're reflecting on what it means to love our community and love ourselves and love our family and love our neighbors. What is this gift of love all about? Where does it come from? And it's clear to me as we come into the story of Christmas Eve, this is a story that's all about love, God's love for the world, a willingness. I mean, if you can think about it, what it would be like to be up in heaven and decide, you know what, I, like a parent, I sort of need to show up. I need to come down. I need to send my son into the world because I love the world so much. I want to be present. I want to be incarnational. I want to be in the flesh. And so Jesus is willing to set aside all of the blessings and the ability to sort of be removed up in heaven and displays a willingness to come into the world in this humble form of a baby in Mary and Joseph's life because God loves us so much. And I'm convinced that because God loves us, we're compelled to receive that love and to share it with all of these other folks in our community through these gifts and through the sharing of our resources and through the blessing of folks in Redbird, some of whom we'll never meet, we'll never know their name, we'll never get to hear their story face to face. But just as God loves us, we're called to love this community that we serve. Mary 2,000 years ago, I imagine in part because she's anxious and afraid and nervous about bringing God into the world in the form of Jesus, she goes running to Elizabeth's house and she ends up staying there. The scriptures tell us for 3 months, these two women, as they go through pregnancy together. But on the moment that she knocks on Elizabeth's door and Elizabeth answers, she's probably like, I finally found Elizabeth's house. We're going into whatever trimester it was. And she knocks on the door, Elizabeth answers, and John the Baptist starts doing somersaults in Elizabeth's stomach, and she's like, ooh, this is a good sign. Mary and Jesus have arrived. And then Mary starts into this song. Throughout the season of Advent, we've been talking about the music that we listen to, the songs that we sing, the music that becomes the soundtrack to some of these experiences. Last week, Lindsay talked about joy to the world because we're lighting the Advent candle for joy. But we've been thinking about all the songs of the season. You've probably been hearing them as you do your last minute shopping. If you're like me, there's like two or three things that you have yet to purchase. And if you're already accomplished in that and finished, God bless you. Maybe you're listening to songs as you get your home ready in the final preparations for Christmas Eve. But as you go down the stretch here and do those last couple of pieces, I hope that you'll spend a moment thinking about what song you would sing if you were to write your own song of the season. What would you be singing about? I don't know if Mary's Magnificat was something that she thought about on the spot or if there was some spiritual tradition that she was able to sing that song that was familiar to her. I don't know where the source or inspiration of that song was for her, but Mary says, my soul magnifies the Lord and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. He's looked on with favor on the lowly state of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. Indeed is his mercy, and is those for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown great strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. That was Mary's song. What's your song? As I was thinking about what song I would have to sing if God came and visited me and said, John, you're called to sing a song, which you all have figured out by now is not my spiritual gift. So I kind of slid over a little bit and I was like, what poem would I write? What words would I use to express my faith if I was present in an enormous moment like this? I know my song would be at least in part about peace. In our world today, I keep seeing images flash across the screen on the news, and I can only digest so much of it. Whether it's the war in Ukraine, or the images that we see in Israel-Palestinian conflicts, buildings once proudly, you know, erected and built, now reduced to rubble, stories of women and children being brutalized, in some cases murdered. There are stories of people being captive, being taken as hostages, reunited with their family. And if you're like me and you follow these stories, I keep coming back to the fact that when God looks down at our world and sees all of us doing all the things that we're doing, I hope that in the midst of God's place in heaven, God looks down at our church like ours and says, I'm really grateful that you're providing, you know, resources for kids with foster families. I'm grateful that you're raising money to buy these vans for Redbird. I'm grateful for the work that UMW is doing to raise money for all these things. But I also imagine that God looks down, and if God watches Fox News or CNN and, you know, sort of God's like got the remote and flipping through the channels, like I imagine God watching the TV. Sure, God doesn't, but I imagine God watching the TV and thinking, I dreamt of a world that looks different than this one. We're not quite there yet. I dream of a world where violence isn't the answer. I dream of a world that's filled with peace. And I know it's easy to say and harder to do. I know that we fight over natural resources. I know that we fight over land. And in Israel and Palestine, it's land that's been fought over for thousands of years. But when we lit the candle of hope, and we lit the candle of peace, and we light the candle of joy, and we light the candle of love, I think that is an outrageous statement of hope, that the world is not yet quite how it ought to be. And I dream of a world where guns and missiles and bombs aren't exploding buildings and causing unnecessary harm. I know that there's been hate, but love drives out hate. I know that there has been violence, but grace and forgiveness can drive out the violence. I know that there has been conflict, and I know that peace can somehow undermine the conflict. I dream of a world that's filled with hope. Mary's world was violent too. This 13-year-old girl was tasked with the responsibility of bringing the Messiah into a world where there was actually an external government that was set up with occupation. There were Roman troops walking all around Israel. I imagine that that contributed a little bit to Mary's fear. In part, the reason why Joseph and Mary were on the road to Bethlehem the night that Jesus was born was because there was this imperial decree. Everybody was to return to their place of origin to be counted so that they could assess where tax revenue was going to come from, among other things. I dream of a world that's different than the one that we live in. And part of my song or part of my poem that I would write would be about the world looking, as we pray in the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray, a little bit more like heaven. And I'm so thankful that this church does everything in its power to try to make the world look a little bit more like the world that God intended it when he first, you know, sent his spirit out over the waters of creation, right? In the book of Genesis, when God created humans in God's image and likeness, when we are created as Theotokos, the God bearers, as we are created to embody the image and likeness of God, God's self, we are called to be ambassadors of a place that does not yet exist. We're called to live like citizens of heaven, not to get caught up in the conflicts and the turmoil of this earth, but to live a different way, to love people with reckless abandon, even when they hurt us. And I dream of living in a world that looks a whole lot more like heaven than the world that I turn on when I see Fox 2 News come on immediately after the Lions defeated, you know, Denver. Thanks, Bill. I appreciate that. I was like, see, that's how you know your pastor's up too late last night watching football. And like immediately, Fox 2 News comes on and yeah, they interview a couple people after the Lions game and people are going crazy. But it wasn't long until there were stories about violence in Detroit, around the world. Let's light the candle of love. Let's be light bearers of a completely different way of living. Imagine the songs that we would sing if we were able to love each other. One of my college professors, his name is Wes Dick. He was a professor of history. He started growing his beard the last time that the United States was not involved in an armed conflict somewhere around the world. And he promised he'd cut his beard when U.S. troops were no longer engaged in active conflict. Needless to say, his beard, when I left Albion College, was down to his belly button. And I imagine it's still growing. Love one another. I dream of a world of peace. And I know that that is an outrageous dream. But I still dream it. As we move through this Advent season and we reflect on Mary and Joseph heading to Bethlehem to give birth to the Savior of the world, I hope that you're able to experience the joy of this holiday season. I hope that as you gather around tables or talk to each other over FaceTime, or I hope that as you sit in the quiet and stillness of your dining room table as you move into this season and you're able to reflect on Christmases going by, that just for a moment you can spend a moment thinking about places all around the world where love is a stranger. Maybe you find yourself thinking about the Livingston County Jail. Maybe you find yourself thinking about Israel or Palestine. Maybe you find yourself thinking about families that you know that have been torn apart because love has been severed through a breach of trust or by a breaking down of a relationship. Maybe you think about folks in your family who have become so embittered by anger and bitterness as we move into an election season that seems to be divisive and fraught with, you know, animosity towards one another. We light a candle of love, which means we're called to love each other, even when we don't like each other. The baby leapt in Elizabeth's womb, signifying that Jesus was coming. Now Jesus is here. Thanks be to God that we're not called to do the difficult task of loving people we don't like without the example of Jesus having done it first. He gave us the roadmap. So we follow Mary and Joseph to Jerusalem. We follow Jesus into the places where people had leprosy or couldn't walk. We follow Jesus to eat dinner with tax collectors and sinners. And we follow Jesus to the cross, where he ultimately loved people who hated him and didn't repay violence with violence, but died there because he loved us. We light the candle of love. Thanks be to God. Amen. Thank you.
So as we enter into a time of prayer, I was reading through the scripture, and the word that really caught my attention this time around was blessing. And it's interesting how we think of blessings. So last Sunday, my mom came to church with me, and on our way home, we were talking about blessings. So 25 years ago, my mom was diagnosed with endometrial cancer, and she was able to fight through that. And then recently this summer, she was diagnosed with breast cancer. And we were talking about how she had a lumpectomy, she had radiation, and people would ask her how she was doing, and she's doing wonderful. She got a prayer quilt that she's so appreciative for, and we were talking about what a blessing it was, and she said something very unique, and she said, while it's a blessing, she also feels very guilty for that blessing because of how many people suffer so horribly with cancer and how she's been blessed twice with having a cure for it, and how guilty that blessing is for her because other people are not blessed like she is. And that just gave me a new perspective on perhaps what blessings are. And so that's kind of where I came up with my prayer for today. So please join me in the time of prayer. Lord, today the verses from the Bible start with an exclamation from Elizabeth about blessings. Those things that come to us that show us how loved we are as your children. Blessings that come from you, but also from others around us. We give them to others or say them. The joy they bring for those that give and receive. We use this word to describe being held in your favor. We can be blessed. We can say a blessing. We can even bless this mess. This feeling is so warming to our souls and brings us closer to you. This season, we often find ourselves in a giving mood, but in our wonderment, we cannot imagine how others can feel depressed, sad, or not wanting to celebrate the season. But a blessing that we can give is to those that struggle during this season. To understand that not all people find hope or love or peace in this season, but feel that it is just like any other day where they are homeless, sick, addicted, depressed, or living paycheck to paycheck. We lift them up to you in prayer. Please help us to realize that even as giving as we may be, sometimes it's embarrassing or shameful in their minds to receive. With blessings, sometimes comes the feeling of being undeserving of them, either of those given or those yet not given. Why do people around me seem blessed, but I am not? What did I do or not do? Why was I blessed with good health or a quick recovery or a cure and others around me suffer or die? Blessings are not earned or lost, for that competitive thinking is a human creation, not a divine intention. The answer will never be clear to us, but we can be thankful for them and express the glory in them. We don't need to be guilty because we were blessed while others seem to suffer. As we await the coming of the newborn King during this time of Advent, you remind us to have hope and faith, to look beyond the right now and into the possibilities, and to pray for ourselves and others. Today, we send a special prayer for Steve Dale, who is the recipient of today's prayer quilt, and we send him wishes for healing and comfort, and a special prayer while we tie a knot. And now let's say our own special prayers in this quiet moment with you. And now let's join our voices to say the prayer together that Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
I remember hearing once that we are a congregation that is blessed to be a blessing. And I can't top what John had to say. It is amazing what this congregation outreach to the community and to each other is. So I want to thank you on behalf of all of those who have participated. Thank you for all of those who have received the blessings from this congregation. Let us continue as the ushers come forward to receive today's contributions, that we might continue to reach out, to bless others, to spread love and joy in any way we can.
Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank and praise you for your presence in our lives. Out of love for you, we bring our offerings this morning. We pray that you will bless them and use them to spread your love in our weary world. Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. Well, as we head out into the world, I just want to share with you just two quick things. First, if you walk out through those doors and all of a sudden it hits you, the smell of cinnamon and sugar, sticky buns, permission, and you feel compelled to buy one of the 160 sticky buns, one of which has your name on it, I'm guessing, as you walk through the door, know that you'll be blessing our brothers and sisters in Redbird, Kentucky, as being a part. Maybe you'd be buying a windshield wiper or a headlight. Do you smell it yet? As you go out into the world, I hope that you'll consider joining us at our Whitmore Lake campus from 1 to 3. We're going to have camels and donkeys. If you want to see what it would have looked like in the first century manger, we encourage you to join us for that. As you go out into the world, we come to the end of this year, and one of the things that we do in the Methodist Church is we fill out a ton of paperwork about what happened in our church. End of year reports are due at this time, and I want to let you know you're a part of a growing church. This last year, we had 11 more people in worship every Sunday than we did the year before. And we're excited that more and more folks are deciding that this is their spiritual home. I'm excited that earlier this week, we just passed a budget for 2024. And because more folks submitted stewardship cards, estimates of giving this year than we had the previous year, we're able to grow our budget, which means we're going to be able to do more things to transform people's lives in Jesus' name. We're excited about what God has in store for us. We hope that you'll join us for Christmas Eve at 11 a.m., 2 p.m., 5 p.m., 7 p.m., 9 p.m. If you come at some other time, we'll just have a service for you. We'll be here all day. But I hope you have a fantastic holiday season and that you're able to reflect on the gift of love in your life. As you go out in the world, I pray you go with the blessing of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let us go loving and serving the Lord. Merry Christmas. Amen.
We are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You were invited into this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of the community. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org for details about in-person worship at both of our two locations. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week.